just want to just say that a theme that I've really wanted to press into, and it kind of started bubbling in my heart at the end of last year, and obviously I spoke into it over Christmas. It's the year of God's goodness. I'll tell you, and if you do not accept and receive that God is good and that His goodness is pressing towards us, and like we sang, His goodness is running after us. Those that are unsaved, He is pursuing you. He is running after you. He's absolutely in love with you, even though you may not even know Him or want to know Him. He is running after you, His goodness. And so we need to be able to posture and realize that if our lenses are seeing God through goodness, then goodness is allowed to come to us. I know as a parent, our children, if they don't receive us as parents or they don't receive what we have as parents, there's nothing I can do. You will only receive what you press into and receive. And if you press in and receive God's goodness, you'll see His goodness at every turn, in every situation. Even those yuck people at work that really give you a hard time, you'll see God's goodness in them, through them. And then we have the opportunity to dispense and display His goodness. And we become those billboards, those vessels through which divine favor blows. So I'm really going to want to press in this year and just unpack and allow us to continually focus on His goodness. I know Moses, he wanted to see God, and God says, listen, no man can see my face and live. But the best I can do is I can put you in the cleft of a rock, and I can walk past you, and I can give you the best of me as I walk past. And what is it? What did the scripture say in Exodus 33:19? He says, the Lord replied, I will make my goodness pass before you. I will make my goodness. He had every other aspect of his character that he could have displayed to Moses, but he said, no, I want to display my goodness. And then obviously Paul understood his goodness because he was such a religious zealot that he was killing the believers, and obviously he got to realize and wrote this to the Romans, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repent, gets you to change, gets you to change your direction, His goodness. So if we become billboards of His goodness as we walk out there and display it, even in the worst situation in life, you can always find God's goodness. And I tell you what, we're living like the 1% of the world in America, and I want you to understand that we are blessed beyond measure. I tell you, you don't even have a clue. So the only way you receive God's blessing of His goodness is that you believe it. And so if you don't believe that goodness is running after you, your hearts are not open to that. When His goodness is displayed to you and revealed to you, suddenly He becomes more than just, okay, somebody I kind of interact with, but He becomes first place in our life. And today I want to unpack the principle of first. It's a principle that is involved in the kingdom. And throughout scriptures, one is instructed to place God first, to position Him first, to prioritize Him first, to acknowledge Him first. And it's not that like He is demanding it. Creation declares it. It's just one of those things that you know God is so awesome, so amazing, that you prioritize Him first. He's not second. And then the scripture says, in the beginning was God. Right in the beginning. So He was first. How He got to first and how He became in the beginning, I don't have an answer to that question. You may ask Him face to face one day when you meet Him and say, God, where did you come from? I don't have that answer, okay? And it goes on to say that you need to love the Lord your God first with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. It says then go, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. It says, then honor the Lord with the first increase of you. So the scriptures is laced continually that we bring the first to God. It's a principle that we need to have if we're going to journey into 2022. Let's make sure that we have this principle rock solid in our life. We may have veered off away from that center point, that epic center point of knowing Him as first. The principle is an accepted rule of action and conduct. When I'm in the house of God, that's what happens. God is first. Creation sets that in place. It's just like an animal instinct that I see animals in Africa. I can take a piece of dirt that a lion have walked all over and take it to a brand new born pup And that pup will start quivering and shivering because it instinctively knows the smell of a lion and knows that's trouble. There is an instinctive thing about knowing about the power. And when you come into the presence of God, God doesn't have to lecture you, say, hey, listen, I'm first. You know He's first. You know His awesome presence when He walks into the room. I tell you what, His greatness and His goodness instinctively brings Him to first place. Brings Him to first place. There was a proud Greek businessman up in Jeffreys Bay as a surf town that we went to in a camp. There was a tent meeting there. And he pitched up and he had this proud gesture that he had in town. He says, I'll bow my knee to nobody. He walks in and kind of sitting way back in the middle aisle there. And suddenly I just start singing this. I was like, what's going on with that? And as soon as the presence of God started moving in, his knees, even if his head didn't want to recognize, his knees bowed. I tell you, when the scripture says here in Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and then those in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that means everybody is going to bow to the name of Jesus. I tell you, if your head says, no, I'm not going to bow, your knees are wiser. They will bow. Because it's just instinctively known in creation, God is first. He's awesome and He's all-powerful. But if you know Him as this awesome, loving, good God, it just has a different effect on us as people. And so the principle, so we live with a relationship with God, not with a set of rules. Knowing that we have a relationship with this awesome God, we can walk into His presence because of Jesus. We walk in with Jesus' robe of righteousness and experiences. So the principles are the framework that holds our relationship real and right. When we have these principles, when I keep Him and honor Him as first, there's things that are kept in order. God is a God of order. He blesses what His way, not our way. Because we want God to bless our mess. God says, no, just get on track, get in line, get the principles right in your life, and suddenly your life is blessed. And we want to be able to do that as we journey into that. This world is pressing different principles on you. Man, the lecturers are doing it. They're teaching you on every kind of social media. It's pressing you. It's wanting to impose on you the principles of the world. But we need to make sure we absorb the principles of the kingdom, because that's what brings life and liberty and freedom and eternity in our lives. And so we need to do that. Because if we go with the world, the Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end is death. And so we don't want to land up at a dead-end road and realize, man, I barked up a dead tree. So we need to. Dead tree, there it is. Hallelujah. God has principles for us to abide by, walk by, live by, because He knows best. He knows best. So I titled this message, First Things First. We need to keep first things first. The principle of first is laced throughout Scripture. Laced throughout Scripture. So God is walking the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery, to a life with Him and His goodness. So He's bringing this people out, and He's walking with them, and He has to bring structure and framework and health situations and laws into their life so they can walk and become whole and become people that can be recognized as those are the people of God. And so He had to walk them out of 400 years of indoctrination that came from Egypt and their worship and all their stuff. And so God is walking them out. And so in Exodus, the children of Israel are introduced to the first principle. And here in Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, it says, and then the Lord said to Moses, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites, the first offering to be born. Your first offering to be born of both human and animals belong to me. So he just said, listen, for you to posture your heart towards me, you need to bring the first. You need to bring the firstborn. Bring them to me. And this bringing acknowledges that he's the source, that he's the provider. He's the one that brought life or brought that to you that he's asking you to bring to him. I remember the first day, well, the first minute, few minutes when Nathan was born. And he's almost about that size as well. And now he's 6'7", huge. So I don't know. I was holding him in my arms minutes after he was born. And there I remembered about dedicating. And right there, while Val was getting all cleaned up and getting sorted out, I was holding Nathan and I said, "Father, this gift I give back to you." If something happens when you hold your first child, I tell every new mom and dad, I tell you, when you hold your first child, it's just something that happens. You know, our children are not our own. We get to be custodians of them. They're on loan to us from God. That's our children. We are here to love them, to raise them, to care for them, and to train them up in the way they should go. And so we get to do that. If you and I think that we're the ultimate parent that can do the best job, you are duly deceived. I want to let you know, if you do not get Big D Dad on your side to help you raise your children, I want to tell you, you're going to have headaches. Because I'm not the ultimate parent. I'm Small D Dad. I call on Big D Dad and say, "These kids that you gave me, I need some help. They did not come with a manual. I wish they came with a little booklet saying, this is how you do." Because every one of them, I have three children, come from some same mom and dad, and I have to use three sets of gloves. Don't know how that works. I have to ask Dad one day, what is going on here? So the Exodus scripture just brings the first. It belongs to God. And so when we do that, we are aligning our hearts in the source and the provision of God. In verse 12 on that same chapter 13 says, "You must present all the firstborn sons and the firstborn male animals to the Lord, for they belong to Him. A firstborn donkey." I'll explain all this now. The firstborn donkey back, redeemed from the Lord by presenting a lamb or a young goat in its place. But if you do not buy it back, redeem it, you must break its neck, because you must buy back, redeem every firstborn son. And suddenly there is a picture here that God is painting that He is going to live out Himself. He's going to live out this very thing. So I've titled the first point, "The firstborn given is an act of faith." The firstborn given is an act of faith. When the firstborn is given, it's an act of faith, an act of trust. Why? Because you don't have a guarantee you're going to have a second one. If the first lamb is born, are you guaranteed you're going to get another lamb? So it takes faith knowing, okay, God, this is my first one. I don't want to have 10 and then I'll just go be a first one, because then I know I've got 9. That's not really faith. You've got to give your first one, and you don't know if you're going to get any more. How about Isaac and Sarah? Sarah was, at 100, she has Isaac. And then Dad decides to take him and go and sacrifice him on the mountain. And then Rachel and Joseph. It took forever for Rachel. Leah was popping out babies like crazy, and Rachel's sitting there and no kids. How about Hannah and Samuel? Hannah, she's barren. Eventually, God gives her, and she literally takes a little guy when he's weaned and goes and puts him in the temple and lets the priest raise him up as a prophet. And they are people that are lining themselves up and saying, "God, the first is yours. The first is yours." And so we understand that these firstborn are presented and they're given. And so it's got to be given as clean. And so what's the donkey deal here? How's that relate to us today? Well, donkey, because it's not an animal that you kind of eat. It's kind of not a, unless you're really hungry. It's known as an unclean animal. So the unclean animal has to be redeemed by a clean animal. What is a clean animal? A lamb or a young goat is a clean animal. And so here, if you've got a donkey, then you've got to redeem it with a lamb. So how does that relate to us today? Are we born clean or unclean? We're born unclean. Why? Because we are in the sin nature. That's why we need to be born again. Because our spirit man is disconnected from God. We are unclean. Is Jesus born clean or unclean? Jesus is born clean. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was involved in the conception and of Jesus, and Jesus was born not of the bloodline of Joseph. Joseph had nothing to do with it. It was the Holy Spirit. So that's why Jesus was clean. So for us to be redeemed as unclean requires a clean. Who was the clean? Jesus came up and said, "Listen, I will redeem you. I will purchase you back." I thought I'd just throw that story in because it's God's first, His only begotten Son. He's living the principle of giving His first. And He's giving His first for all of mankind. God gave His first. And Romans 5:8 says, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we are still sinners. Not that we're all goody two shoes, and Jesus said, "Okay." God says, "Okay, it's a good deal. I can send my Son." No, we are reprobates. We are miserable suckers in sin. And then He sends His best, heaven's best, His first, to die for us. So He lives His principle, God. He's not asking us to do something He doesn't. Second thought I want to give you today is the first of our increase is to be offered. First things first, we're talking about this morning, Coastal. First things first. Proverbs says this in Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Honor the Lord. It's bringing the first. It's demonstrating that God, you first. I'm bringing the increase. Why do we acknowledge Him? Because we acknowledge Him because He's the source. He's the provider. What is the result? Verse 10 says, "So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." When I give the first, and I don't even know what kind of yield or crop, am I going to have enough to sell to survive the next season? I don't know that. But by faith, I know that if I give the first, the rest is blessed. Because that's the principle of first. If I give God the first, because He's the source, He's a provider, the rest is blessed. That's what you've got to understand in this principle of understanding that. Exodus 23:19. "And as you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord, your God." Two things about that. First thing, the first of the harvest is to be bought. You're not giving it to God. It's like Jerry and Maria, they take us to the airport so we can fly to Colorado, and they said, "Listen, can you drive, use your car while you're away?" I said, "No, that's no problem, that's fantastic." That didn't actually happen, okay? I'm just using it as an example. And when they came back to pick us up at the airport, they just said, "You know, we felt led by the Lord to give you this car." I said, "Heck, that car's mine. I gave you to drive while in." That's what you're saying when you come and bring the tithe and say, "I'm giving to the Lord." No, no, you're just bringing back what's His. Just thought I'd put that out there, okay? It's not ours to give. It's ours to bring. It's ours to bring, and God tests us with this, brings it. And the other thing I want to tell you is that the first of the harvest is to be brought to the house of the Lord, not to the TV evangelist. You don't go and buy your food at Publix and pay Winn-Dixie. You don't do that. It says bring it to the house of the Lord. Bring it to the place you worship. What is that portion that you bring? It's called the tithe. Those that don't know what the tithe is, tithe is a Hebrew word for 10%. 10% is what God's saying, and it's a way that we show our faith, we show our trust. Hebrews says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." But faith, without faith, and we're demonstrating our faith. So we bring our tithe to our worship, our place of worship. And then over and above that, we have our offerings that we give to ministries and to different needs and missions and stuff. We give that, and that's how it flows. But we've got to bring the first to that. I want to just tell you, we all tithe to something. We're at Costco's. I finally got a Costco's card this last week. I was just amazed. Went in there to have a look, kind of look around there. And then we walked past, and they got a huge wine section there. I didn't know that they were so big. And people were piling the carts up with it. Obviously, it was Friday. They just had to have liquid refreshments for the week. And I said, "You see, everybody ties to something. If you're not going to be spending it on that, you're going to be spending it on a hobby or a habit or NFL tickets. And they're not cheap. I mean, you tally up your tithe, that's about the tally up of what it is to have NFL tickets or whatever it is. You'll be tithing to something." And I'm just saying that we all tithe. So church, the children of Israel were instructed to bring all the gold and all the silver when Jericho fell. Those that don't know the story, when they walked into the promised land, the first city they encountered was Jericho. And they walked around it for 7 days. Jericho fell. And God says, bring all the silver and bring all the gold to me. So, well, listen, we've been walking around the wilderness for 40 years. Our pockets are a little empty. We kind of need some cash. We need kind of gold. No, God says, the very first city is mine. And then the rest will be blessed. And they went on to have 40 other cities that they took out and took all the spoils of it. So they became very wealthy. But it required them to give the first. And that's something that happened. The principle of the first portion so that the rest can be blessed. It's the redemptive power of God. If you bring the first, God blesses the rest. So it's important to understand that the first things remain first. So the question is asked around the story of Cain and Abel. So Cain and Abel brought offerings to God. And before I read it to you, I just want to say that why wasn't it received? Why was Cain's offering not received and Abel's received? Well, I just want to unpack it to you because it's so important to get this principle of first right, the right way. And here we have it here, and we learn about this principle here. It says here in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also bought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel's and his offering, and he did not respect Cain and his offering. And you, what's going on here? I mean, they bought the offering. Why? Let's read it. It says here, we see when Cain decided in the process of time, maybe when he decided to realize, man, Abel's going to do some nice worship to God and bring the firstborn. He said, well, I better go back into the storeroom, get myself some supplies and some of the produce and bring it. In the process of time, he bought. And so here we see, I want you to note, this is happening 2,500 years before the law. Just because some people have this thing, it's all under the law. Tithing is under the law. Everything's under the law. No, this was 2,500 years. Back then, they knew what was first. They needed to bring it to God. And a reminder that that law was used to get Egypt's ways out of the children of God and God's ways in. So today, if you say you got this little mantra that you have, well, tithing's under the law. Tithing was under the law. Excuse me? Adultery was also under the law. Stealing was also under the law. Honoring your parents was also under the law. Do we now just forget about adultery? It's cool. Stealing, it's cool. Because that used to be under the law. So why do you take that all out? Not take that all out because you know adultery is wrong. You know stealing is wrong. You know that the way forward and be blessed is to honor your mother and father. All those things are still good and appropriate for today. So why do you throw tithing out? Why do you throw giving out? Just thought something to ponder about. Hallelujah. So we're talking about a heart relationship of faith to God, who's to be first. God would not accept Cain's offering, but he could not. I want you to listen to this next portion here. Because it's outside of God's character and his nature. God cannot change and be outside of his character or his nature. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God cannot change. He is truthful. He doesn't have truth. God is truth. Whatever way you cut God, he bleeds truth. He is love. He can't be anything except love. So any way you cut God, he's going to bleed love. So he's truthful. He cannot lie. God cannot change. He's immutable is the word. Can't get better. He is perfect. Challenging for the brain to think about that. God can't think like us. He's omniscient. Omniscient means he's all-knowing. God knows everything at the same time. Ponder on that in a triple breaker. He knows everything all the time. God knows everything. We think to figure out things, to learn things and to improve. That's why we keep thinking and working things out. Nothing will just occur to God. It won't say, I didn't even think of that. God cannot have those moments. It just cannot happen with God. He can't, oh, I never thought of that. No. God never has to figure out anything. I know that some of you are stressing your brain out right at this very moment, trying to work that out. And you say, well, you know, Isaiah 55 says that our thought, God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than... Yeah, you were right, they are higher, far higher, so much higher that we cannot even comprehend the thoughts of God. Another thing, God cannot be second. God cannot be second. He has preeminence, meaning he's first of all, above all, higher than all. The tip, tip, top. That's God. He's a good God in that position. Man, that's fun to know. So God is first. Man may not have him first, and we may not consider him first. But God is first to the universe, no matter what you say. He is first. So either we're going to get in line and make him first, or otherwise you're going to be challenged. So that's why God could not accept Cain's offering, because it was not first. In the process of time, he gave. He gave when he wants, what he wanted. My last thought before we close, the tithe must be first. Talking about first things first. The tithe, 10%, belongs to God. The tithe is to be brought to God. It's honoring. When you do that, you're placing an honor. You're honoring God. You're worshiping God. That's what you're doing. It's saying, listen, my faith is in you, God. My trust is in you, God. It's obedience. And when you bring your tithe, Leviticus 27:30 says, all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the land, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. Teaching the children of Israel, if you have that right, the rest is blessed. The rest is taken care of. One would say, well, it all belongs to the Lord. Yes, it all belongs to the Lord, but God only requires the tithe. God only requires the tithe. It's our worship. It's our declaration of faith. Time will show you that you will get more from 90% than you will from 100%. Time will tell you that. And so, God, give the first and God blesses the rest. We had two bank managers, Peter Kane, Mike Pusey. Now we're back in Zimbabwe. We are rough back then. We're just out the military. We had a connect group, a home group, a Bible study, whatever you guys are related to. And so Andy Smith, he was a bank man, and he realized that every time anybody new came to our life group, as a man, we would grab him and throw him in the swimming pool. Whether he had his business suit on, whether he had his whatever he had on, we threw him in the pool. He got baptized. Whether he was saved or unsaved, we threw him in the pool. And so Andy was so excited to go to Mike Pusey and to Peter Cade and said, listen, I have joined a group that is such fun. You've got to come. Because he wanted to see us throw him in the pool. And so we threw them both in the pool. Anyway, they got saved. Yeah. So we just did the cart before the horse. We baptized them first, and then we got them saved. So, but we got to the place now where we are now teaching them the ways of God, and we say, listen, God's got to be first, and you got to tithe. And bank managers, they're the worst people to try and get to tithe. Because, man, they got the figures all sorted out, eh? And so we said, listen, okay, Harry and I, this is my brother-in-law, Harry, we'll stand guarantee for 6 months. If you run short in that 6 months, we'll come to the party and we'll chip in. Well, I'll tell you what, so they thought it was a good deal. There's no risk for them. So off they go to the races and they start tithing. And the first month goes by and says, man, some guy came up, I needed four tires for my car, came back, he says, I bought the wrong size, they don't take them back, you want them? Suddenly he got his tires. He says, by the time I tallied up, he says, I've got far more than I ever tithed. So we said, okay, well, off to the races again, second month. And the same thing happened. Another thing happened. In 6 months, we got released of our, and the bank managers to this day serve Jesus and they still tithe. They may be in Australia and all over the place, but they're still tithing. And so it's important that the first thing remains the first thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me land this. I've got 4 minutes. So some practical math to demonstrate tithing. And just because it's not law, but it's just the posture of the heart. Is James in the house? James? Anyway, let's pick one of you guys. Do a contract. Mike. Okay, Mike. There's eight of them in the house. I'll pick Mike. They come and they do a contract job for my house. I said, thank you. And they said, Pastor, listen, there's so much for my labor. Paying the labor. And he says, there's so much for my material. Paying for the material. And he says, and that's the profit, $1,000 profit. So I'll give him a $1,000 bills. And so in that $1,000 bills, you're not expecting to tithe on your labor or his material, but the profit, there's 10. Which one of the 10 $100 bills is the tithe? The first one that you give is the tithe. If you go and say, well, okay, let me put this towards the mortgage, that towards the utilities, ain't enough. You're a Cain in the process of time. Okay, you didn't have enough. That is not the right way. Take the first, and God blesses the rest, and somehow I think, man, Pastor must have given me an extra $100 note, Gordon. You know, because it gets multiplied. That's, you understand. So, like I was in Colorado, and I get a notification, oh, your money's been transferred. Your salary's been transferred. Straight away, I go in, and I transfer it to the tithe, to Coastal. Or if I'm here, I take the check. I write the check up, if I cut right in. Why? It's a posture of the heart. It's not a law thing. Now, if I get paid and then Valerie goes shopping and then I come back and I realize, oh, Valerie, you spent a tithe at Winn-Dixie. Come on, Valerie. You've messed up the whole month. No, I don't. It's not legalist. It's just a posture. Now, I won't tell of your whole confession. I went to the military. She did it once. I gave her a tithe. I said, hand the tithe in because I'm off to the military on call-up. She decided to spend the tithe and wondered why the wheels came off that month. But anyway, she's repented. Sackcloth and ashes. And anyway, she ate our tithe. So I'll close with a familiar scripture just to kind of wrap it all up. Malachi, right at the end of the Old Testament, after these words of Malachi, God goes silent for 400 years. Not a peep from a prophet, no, nothing until John the Baptist. And here he talks about this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. God is saying, test me. Like we said to those bank managers, test it out. Says the Lord of hosts, and if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, that there will be no room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. Man, he says, if you do this, call now, and you will get this as well. I'll rebuke the devourer. I will make sure. You understand, man, there is everything that is wanting to devour your income, devour what you have. And I tell you what, I really want God and the whole angels on board helping me. So I'm just going to put God first, and I know the rest is covered and blessed. I tell you, it's worked. I am standing here 44 years as a believer. I've tithed every moment of my saved life. It's a proven fact. Why? Because it's a principle of first. Malachi was challenging the people of the day. Why? Because they were bringing lame, sick, and deformed animals. Have a look and say, okay, well, I better give one of these to so that you know, I can abide by the law and keep the religious people happy. No. You go and find where's the very first one that was born. Or when the very first one was born, you take it. Because I want to make sure that everything else, the Dabara doesn't come. My fruit doesn't fail. I don't lose this deal. I don't lose my job. I have an understanding that my God is my provider because I'm putting my faith on the line here. I'm believing God. So we bring our first, our best. And if you can't, you say, I can't afford to tithe. I tell you what, you can't afford not to tithe. In today's age, man, everything is wanting to devour it. Tithe, this is God's way. It's the principle of first. It takes faith, it takes trust in a good God. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Psalm 21 says, some trust in the chariot, some trust in horses. Psalm 20, we trust in the name of our Lord our God. I want to honor you today because Sunday is the first day of the week. Sabbath was yesterday. Sabbath was yesterday in the Jewish. This is the first. What are you doing with your time on the very first of the week? You're coming to worship God. You're bringing your time. You're bringing the principle first, coming to worship. Those who are joining us online, you're coming, you're setting your time aside. You're saying something to God in that He is first. You're aligning with nature and all of creation that says God is first, and He will remain first in all my actions. We can bring all these things, our time, our quiet time in the morning, and do you wake up and say, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning. What do you, but at least God's up front there, our talents, our gifts. Is that first, bringing it to God, sharing it with God? And so, Costa and online listeners, I want to just tell you, we've got to keep the first things first for 2022. And what God, get into our boat and help us row through 2022 and watch the blessings of God. And we can go up there and display the goodness and the greatness of our God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Woo! You're so good to us. That your goodness is running after us. You so long, like the prodigal son and the father there, he kept looking at the horizon. He kept looking at the horizon, anticipating the return of his son. Father, you are leaning forward, anticipating that we would line up with this first principle and release the heavens and open the blessings that we cannot contain, that we can become the light of the world, become the joy, become the display of your goodness and your greatness. So, Father, I ask you, and church, I ask you, what is Holy Spirit saying to you today? Are there things we need to tweak in our life? Are there other things that are taking more importance than God and putting Him first? Some of you, it may be a fine adjustment. Some of you, well, you must make a serious turn because you need the wind of His Spirit under your sails so we can sail 2022 like we've never sailed a year before. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Placing Him first. And some of us, well, we haven't even gone in the Jesus boat. We kind of been paddling our own boat. And Jesus said, would you come to me? Would you allow me to be first in your life? Would you allow me to lead you? Would you allow me to be the good shepherd and the great shepherd that would lead you beside still water into pasture green? Would you allow your purpose and your divine purpose to come forth through your life as you connect with me? If that's you and you online or in the sound of my voice and you have not responded and invited Jesus into your life today, man, around the beginning of the year is a great time to do it. Invite him in. Allow him to take the wheel as a song would be sung. Jesus, take the wheel. If you allow him in, allow him to be first. Allow the principle of first to come into your life. It aligns a whole lot of more things in your life. Your relationships. Your interactions with life. Touches your health, touches your demeanor, touches your posture, touches your eyes, touches your lips, it touches your, it works from the inside out. That's what happens when the kingdom of God comes. And if that's you, you can just pray along and invite Jesus into your life. We do this as a church, and we want to just do this out loud. Church, you just do it so well. So let's just pray. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, and that you died on the cross for me. You paid for my sins. And today I stand forgiven because you forgive me. And I thank you for your forgiveness. I receive you into my life. And I call you Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, I'm going to say this word because I really want the principle to be in there. But as a church, I want to honor you. This is an amazing giving church. Amazing in the way we can do what we do and send finances and allow things to happen. I'm looking forward to being able to help the school we're sponsoring. Looking forward to helping the missionaries that we're connected with. We want to be a source, as the scripture says, bring it to the storehouse so that it may be food in my house, that we may be able to raise people up, train people, buy curriculums for Bible schools, send curriculums to unreached people groups. We have so much that we want to do. And you guys are brilliant. You're good. And I want to commend you and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm going to release you. Because you've got a lot of fellowshipping to do. And encouraging to do before you leave these doors. So Father, thank you. I love the words that Lenny taught us, yay for us, because your goodness is chasing after me. Allow me to display your goodness as we walk out these doors. Permeate through these people and through those that are watching online. Permeate through them, Lord, your goodness, your greatness, your grace, your love. Oh my God, let them not miss out. Anybody that comes into our proximity, that they will not miss out in hearing about your goodness. We release ourselves to into a needy, dying world with your love and grace. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Have a great week. Woo-hoo.